Jesus and the Samaritan woman meet at Jacob's well. They meet there because they're both thirsty. They're both thirsty. It's noon, the sun is hot, and Jesus needs a drink. Through their conversation, the woman realizes her deeper religious thirst and her thirst to be known, her thirst to be accepted. Jesus offers her a wellspring that will never run dry. Last Sunday, I suggested that we see these five Sundays of Lent as shrines on a pilgrimage to Easter. Each story is an important landmark on the road to new life, to new life. Roman Catholics use the five stories of these Lenten gospel readings as the primary texts for adults preparing for baptism. Jesus, being led into the desert to notice the distractions of this world, which entice us toward self-focus. Nicodemus, who we heard last week, who learns he must be born not just from the womb, but of the Spirit. Thirdly, today's story of the Samaritan woman who discovers the limitless depths of inclusion for her thirsting soul. For the man born blind who helps us to see past the veils of this life into deep insight. And five, the old story of Lazarus who died and is returned to life. Roman Catholic catechumens and their communities enter deeply into these stories to prepare for baptism, to prepare for conversion, to prepare for Easter faith in the risen one. And we can join along too. As we stop today at the well with Jesus and the Samaritan woman, we might notice something for ourselves on our ways to new life. I'll admit, thirst may not be the first thing on our minds here in the Pacific Northwest these days. With our record rainfall, we need only turn our faces up to the sky if we're thirsty. What I find remarkable about the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at this year's reading is how, if you pay attention to that extremely long reading, how, if you pay attention, though, to the reading, the two sit down together across the sides of this well, across the differences in their lives, and they carry on a quite unusual conversation. It's like standing at the water cooler with someone who is so utterly different from you. And yet these two sit at the well and have a conversation, a deep and rich conversation that changes both of their lives. We know that Jesus is not supposed to be talking to her. Jesus knows that he's not supposed to be talking to her. She knows that Jesus is not supposed to be talking to her. And when his disciples come from town and see him doing it, they are astounded at the scene. What's more, it isn't a story where Jesus necessarily has the upper hand. He's thirsty. He's thirsty, and he has no way to get the water, which is now deep in the well. Has no way to get it toward his cracked lips and parched throat. He must make himself vulnerable enough, at least, to ask the woman for help. And she points out to him quite plainly, "You ain't got no bucket." But with his thirst slaked, the conversation turns religious. With the woman's theological inquiry about where God should be worshipped. And Jesus again, very astoundingly, levels the playing field. Days are coming, he says. Days are coming when the true worshipers will worship not on this mountain, nor in Jerusalem, but in spirit and in truth. Days are coming, woman, when we're not going to worship the way your people did or the way my people did. We're going to be worshiping in spirit and in truth. Now, can you imagine if some of the religious authorities had heard that? What would have happened? Well, we know what did happen. For Judaism, location was everything. Location was everything, and Jerusalem at the very center. In this remarkable exchange, Jesus and the Samaritan woman are together, engaged in breaking every barrier down. Water. Water like the wind or breath, water like wind or breath had always been a sign of the power and the presence of God among Aboriginal people, among native peoples, and certainly in the Judeo-Christian traditions, liturgical traditions. Remember just last Sunday, how Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born from water and the Spirit, that is, in baptism. I can imagine water and spirit or breath are such symbols, such central symbols of God's presence, because they can't be controlled. However much we try, try pushing on a river, try holding your breath, just to give it a try for a while. The Spirit of God is free of all attempts to locate, to contain, and to control. This is a conversation in which Jesus and the Samaritan woman are engaged in. The faith Jesus offers her from the Jews is spirit-focused, is God-infused. It's a God-infused faith that deals in truth, that is, the kind of truth that sets you free. Whether you call it understanding, whether you call it a knowing, whether you call it consciousness, whether you call it awareness, it sets you free. It reminds me of a moment in the conversation we had last Wednesday night with Faiza Sultan. She talked about her growing up and growing up in a family of intense love and a faith-filled family as an Iraqi Muslim. And how when she moved to America, she quickly got to know people of faith who were also loving, who also loved her. And she discovered that this was so despite all of the horrendous images of Americans which she had been raised with in her culture. In that moment in which she met real people, real love, and saw them, her old images of Americans began to fall away. The moment her heart was touched and the moment her eyes saw. And likewise in hearing her tell her story, she allowed us deeper understanding. She allowed us a vision and a feeling into her existence. And we watched the images that are implanted in our minds and hearts fall, of who an Iraqi Muslim is. Through the differences, and even despite them, it was so easy in that moment to see the light of spirit shining, the spirit that knows no bounds, cannot be pinned to one location, one religion, one culture, one race, one gender. The Spirit knows no bounds and is breaking every barrier down. So as we wander around the shrine of Jacob's Well on our Lenten pilgrimage, wondering about our own thirst, I wonder what distances you from your heart's desire. I wonder what keeps you where you are. What keeps you walled in the same room? What kinds of human interactions do you continually find yourself in? You know, the ones where you get to a certain point and you realize that you're 3 years old again? How are you yearning to be known? How do you want to be seen? As we wander around the well today, this shrine on our pilgrimage, wondering about our own thirst and what will slake it, know that there is a wellspring on the rising. Know that there are barriers even now breaking, and the invitation of Jesus before you to join the conversation and the welling. And the welling, the rising to eternal life, holding you up, raising you up.